Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. It is a very cold Friday morning, but we are delighted to have your warmth of being a great audience, and we thank you. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning, and then we'll get right into stuff and talk about what's going on in the world. Alan Shartok is with us. Alan, how are you faring?
I'm fine. I'm in an undisclosed location due to the fact that, my health is not well. I'm not a well man. And so
we thought it better that maybe you be in an undisclosed location and not get us sick.
Roselle said, you are not a sick man. You just have a cold. And I said, well, no, I'm an ill man.
I'm very, very ill.
So here I am.
Well, it's good to have you aboard. Thank you very much, sir. Also on our panel this morning, a Times Union columnist and a very, very good addition to our group. We're thrilled that he is a part of what we do here, and that is Chris Churchill. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good. Very
excellent. Good to have you back. And Barbara Smith, well, because of the fun drive, and we missed you last week, and then we got done in time, but not in enough time to tell you that we were ready, and because we didn't know if we were going to have a show or we didn't have a show, but we
here
did,
I am,
and here you are, and we couldn't be more thrilled. Thank you very much for being with us. We welcome your letters roundtable at wamc.org. WAMC.org. All right. So let us, there is a lot to talk about. There is a lot to discuss. And are you okay?
I can't hear Alan.
You can't hear Alan. No. So let me turn up. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's wrong.
There you go.
I know. Better off.
Well, she wants to.
You're right. Right. The last person you do not want to hear is me. See what I mean?
I think we're all set. So let's talk about the debate last night. Defeated soundly in New Hampshire, Hillary Clinton sought to puncture Bernie Sanders' popularity and appeal to new regions of voters. I know this will shock all political pundits in this room, but both candidates declared victory at the debate last night. What do you all think? Alan?
Well, I've been perusing the papers since about 1:30 this morning, my usual getting up time. And, there are people who have declared for both of them, the pundits. But for the most part, I think Bernie got the nod. I think what happened is that Hillary was seen as very good, competent in every way, filled with facts and the rest of it. So you have a choice. You have the Bernie who says, let's reach for the stars, let's have health care for everyone, let's have Medicare for all, let's have this and that. And then on the other hand, you have Hillary saying, not so fast, this is not an easy thing to do, you got to know what you're doing, I know what I'm doing. You don't really know because of your foreign policy experience. It got a little testy at the point at which Bernie said to her, that's a low blow. You don't see much of that in these debates. So I think it's a tie unless you read the New York Times. And the New York Times is so clearly prejudiced for Hillary that it's not even funny. I know I argue with this with the press guys all the time who tell me, no, there's an absolute separation between, the opinion page and everybody else, but I don't think so. So anyway, I think it was close, and the polls are tightening.
Chris Churchill.
Is it too boring if I call it a tie, too?
No.
All right, then I'll call it a tie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think both their positions are pretty established at this point. I don't think there was anything last night that would surprise anybody or change anybody's mind. I think it's kind of just kept the race as it is, pretty much.
Yeah. Barbara?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Before we go to all of you, don't you think at some point she's sitting there with her head in her hands, Hillary, and saying, I wish I hadn't taken the money? Because I think that money thing is really hurting her.
The Wall Street money, the Goldman Sachs money?
Yeah, Goldman Sachs money, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, she doesn't need it, presumably, so it's causing her a lot of trouble.
That is so Clinton-esque. I mean, that is really, Look, I like the Clintons, and I certainly would proudly vote for her if I had a chance. But I have to tell you, the idea that she should have been thinking about that, you know, in advance. She knew where she was going. She knew what she wanted to do. Did she think people were just going to turn their backs and say, well, as Rosemary, who's not here to defend herself, would have said, well, everybody takes money for speaking. No, I don't like it, and I don't think a lot of people like it.
Barbara, what did you think?
I don't really have much to add either. I only watched snippets of it, not the whole thing, probably about 45 minutes of it. But I was trying to figure out how do we talk about this when we have, well, Alan does a good job, actually, of talking about it, even though we know or have heard who he's supporting. So I don't really have much to say. It was just more, as usual, I'm just interested to see what happens in South Carolina.
So let's talk about South Carolina. Of course, much has been made over the past several days of courting the African-American vote in that state. And I think that I want to spend some time on this. And let us begin with the Congressional Black Caucus PAC backing Hillary Clinton yesterday and the importance of that and the ultimate issue of these two candidates and who can best communicate to that voting bloc. Barbara, do you want to start?
Well, not to, foreshadow or, you know, jump ahead to our next story, but I think I'm so glad that you sent that story from The Nation by Michelle Alexander about why should Black Americans support Hillary Clinton or the Clintons as a collective unit. I remember all of those things that she outlined in her article about the criminal justice turnbacks, the attempt to obliterate welfare as we knew it. It's just, and then the statistics during the period about unemployment rising and incarceration just skyrocketing. I frankly don't understand why, you know, anybody Black would leap to support her. Having said that, I think that people in Congress, people who are nationally elected officials, they are familiar with her, and they probably see it as a more politically adept thing to do for the future.
So a clarification and a question. We are talking about an article I sent along, and I would suggest, if anyone's interested in reading it, it is pretty interesting. It is by Michelle Alexander and in The Nation of why Hillary Clinton doesn't deserve the Black vote. And basically saying from the crime bill to welfare reform policies that Bill Clinton enacted and Hillary Clinton supported, that they decimated Black America. So back to the point of the Congressional Black Caucus PAC backing Hillary Clinton and a speech given by a civil rights hero, John Lewis, who said that all he knows is that when in the 60s, when he was sitting down and meeting with students, he met with Hillary Clinton, he met with Bill Clinton, and he did not meet with Bernie Sanders. Is that fair?
I think that's really not fair. I love John Lewis. In fact, I idolize him, to be quite frank. So it's not about what I think about him. But I just feel like having been a student in the 1960s, they didn't meet me either. Do you see what I'm saying? It's about where were you at a particular time. Bernie Sanders is a few years older than the Clintons. That could account for why they never met. He might have been in leftist organizations as opposed to middle, you know, kind of moderate organizations because they were students involved in electoral politics at the time. I think that probably would describe the Clintons. And he was involved, I think, in things like perhaps SDS. So the fact that they didn't meet doesn't say anything about whether he was as thoroughly committed to anti-racism as they were.
Alan?
And by the way, Barbara, you know, there's lots of evidence of Bernie's early work for major civil rights groups on campus and everywhere else and joining marches. So I just got a letter saying Alan pot calling the kettle black about the New York bias at the New York Times. And the writer, Catherine, said, you may be accused of the same thing, sir. It says for Sanders all the way. It's true. The only reason I have said what I was going to do is I happen to believe that there is bias in the media, and that it should be said where we are coming from. I happen to love Hillary Clinton, and I happen to love Bernie. I think they're both great. I said in the beginning that I was going to vote for Bernie, so people would know where I was coming from. So instead of Catherine writing me and saying, "Congratulations, Alan, you did what everybody should be doing," she's writing me and said, "You may be the kettle of black and all the rest of it," and I say, "Go back to the lumpin' proletariat, but we love your letters."
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we will return to those letters and to more commentary on this particular issue. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Mass Match, a locally owned dating service connecting both straight and gay singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond, massmatch.com. And Williams College, presenting performer Taylor Mack and the Decades Project, February 13th at 8 p.m. at the 62 Center for Theater and Dance, highlighting songs from the 1770s through 1790s, 62center.williams.edu.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. We're going to go to a news break at the bottom of the hour, so we have time for some letters and more conversation. So we'll go to Alan with a couple letters. We'll get us started.
Okay. So Bernie, civil rights, says John. While some were marching, Bernie was getting laws and regulations changed. Check the record, John in Newburg. And then we had a very good listener saying, "I assume you know that 90.9 and the website are not broadcasting." Yeah, there's a problem down there at WOSR, and I know our crack engineers are working on it as we speak right now. But the website looks good to me, so I don't know what that's about. Dear Roundtable, just a correction. It is the leadership of the Congressional Black Caucus that is endorsing Clinton. Some were absent when the vote was taken, and one member, Keith Ellison, spoke out on not endorsing Hillary, but rather Bernie Sanders. Hope you'll mention that Harry Belafonte came out to endorse Bernie Sanders, too. Yep, that's been all over our news, by the way. Last call for love. No, that's wrong. That's the florist writing me a letter.
Is it really the last call for love?
Is there such a thing? And we have heard from our chief engineer, Stacey Rosenberry, who says there is a power outage currently at WOSR. We are trying to lock the power company down on a time to restore. Okay?
Okay.
There we go. I don't understand. Michael Cerrito writes, "I don't understand how Clinton's policies degraded blacks. I think his welfare reform actually raised them up by making them more responsible for their lives." That's Michael. Anybody want to respond to that?
I'm sure. Well,
Barbara seems to want to.
It's focused. It is the subject line says Barbara. So I'll let
yeah,
Barbara.
Yeah, it's not about degrading blacks. It's about like how many people were incarcerated, how many more millions of people were incarcerated by the end of his term. Or his two terms. That's the question. And also how many more people were in poverty and how many more people were unemployed. So it's not about degrading because, see, I was thinking during the break, they're very clever, and particularly Bill Clinton is very clever around appearing to be very comfortable with, and in fact, he is actually comfortable with black people. There's a difference between kind of responding to the cultural cues, like being on Arsenio Hall and playing the saxophone, and actually doing policies that will help an oppressed a group. And he made a point during his first campaign of going back to Arkansas to execute a man who was so mentally disabled, he didn't understand that he wouldn't be able to save his dessert until after the execution. That's how mentally disabled this individual was. And he did that to send a strong signal to law and order people. So, and it was a black man that, you know, was executed. So, as I said, I'm not convinced.
He's a genius at playing it both ways. He always has been. I mean, he can, on one hand, like you said, cultural signals to the black community, and feeling very comfortable in black churches. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, he's always been very good at kind of signaling to white racists, particularly in the South. And he did win a number of Southern states, which a Democrat hasn't done long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, we were talking during the break about the Sister Soldier speech that he gave during his first campaign where
and how he treated Lonnie Guinier in relationship to the Civil Rights, Department of Justice or Civil Rights Commission. I don't remember which it was. But
yeah. But at the same time, though,
But you know, there's a long...
Okay, we only have about 20 seconds, Alan.
All right.
I got a long history of this. JFK, as you remember, wrote that famous letter to M.L. King in the jail cell. And that circulated without everybody knowing about it on the outside, except the inside black community knew about it. That's for sure.
We're going to go to a break. We'll be back. We'll continue our conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We always enjoy your company. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a few letters and then we'll jump back into some other topics. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. Brendan says, Bernie needs to pose a straightforward question to minority voters. Do believe things will improve for you under Hillary Clinton's presidency? Question mark. It didn't work out so well in the 90s, and Bernie can get that point across. He might have a shot. Great show today. Well, Brendan, you know, there's some polling that indicates that after the Clinton administration, many people saw him as the quote first black president. So he had a lot of support from the black community. And yes, you're right, playing it both ways. Barbara, you want to answer that one too?
I mean, I can't say anything about Bernie's campaign strategy, but we were talking again during the break.
Which we do, audience.
I was talking about, it was Toni Morrison, the incredibly world-renowned, distinguished author, who
Nobel
coined
Prize
that,
winner,
who
yes.
Nobel Literature Prize for Literature winner, yes, who coined that phrase that he was the first black president. And I despaired when I heard that because I thought this is going to confuse people terribly, both black and white people and all people, because he's not black. And just because he's comfortable as a civil rights era, you know, person, because he was a teenager during the civil rights era, like me, and he was affected by what he was seeing. But that doesn't make him a black person. In fact, I don't think anything would make you a black person except perhaps probably being born one.
Being black.
You could definitely be an anti-racist person.
Sounds like a good criteria to me, actually, yeah. Barbara.
Pretty logical.
Lynn writes, Clinton's specificity, her knowledge, her great ability to delineate what the problems are and give solutions overwhelms Sanders. Sanders is not fighting in the present, but in the past. She is living and thinking now, capital N-O-W. His references to Churchill, not you, Chris, and FDR, ironically show that. He is a one-issue politician, and oddly, now that Sanders has tasted blood, it seemed on stage frustrated and angry. Well, I have to tell you, Lynn, and again, this is why I try to tell you what I'm doing. The overnights show Bernie massively, according to people who watched it, won. So despite the fact that you say so, it may not mean it's so, you know what I mean? Okay, so Tina says, no one mentioned this. Bernie is absolutely right for calling out Hillary out for being proud of Kissinger's view of her work as Secretary of State. Kudos to Bernie for mentioning Cambodia and Kissinger's secret carpet bombing. Cambodia was only one site of Kissinger's crimes against humanity. Hillary is making it harder and harder for Democrats to support her, says my old friend Tina from the Legislative Gazette. And then Hillary says, Hillary and Wall Street, the devil may be in the details. If Hillary is made to release details of a Wall Street paid speech, I think they've come out, haven't they, Joe? Don't we know what was in those speeches now?
I think, yeah, the transcripts are out.
I think the transcripts are out.
Yeah, the transcripts are out, and they weren't especially damning. So, from what
Clinton
from
is, Clinton is electable. Sanders is not. Hello, says Richard. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton would both make excellent presidents. The only difference is that Hillary Clinton can win the general election, while Bernie Sanders cannot. Were Bernie Sanders to win the Democratic nomination, his opponents would endlessly remind the American public he's a self-avowed socialist. American voters who associate the word socialist with Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, many of whom we also were self-avowed socialists. Well, Richard, that is the issue, all right.
Well,
I think a lot of people have that issue. Yeah.
So let me ask, and I'll ask all of you, and that is, since the New Hampshire win, and maybe this is a flash in the pan, I don't know, but since the New Hampshire win, when Bernie Sanders has been put in contest with the various Republican rivals in the general election, his numbers are pretty good. And it seems that it would, yes, be a close election, but there are two major polls that have him coming out ahead. So is that really true that he is not electable?
I would be pretty skeptical of those polls. I mean, I think those polls tend to be name recognition polls at this point. I don't think that most people are really paying that much attention if they're in, you know, Utah or in any of these states that, you know, have not had a chance to vote yet. And
Chris, on top of that, Hillary being the assumed winner of these primaries by the Republicans has been the great Satan. She's the one they've been beating up on. And maybe this stuff shows here. But you better believe that if Bernie gets the nomination,
right,
he's next.
I think Bernie's in a very, very tough spot right now anyways in terms of going forward. I mean, he's running kind of an outsider campaign. That he's campaigning against the status quo. In a sense, he's campaigning against the Obama administration because he's criticizing the corruption and everything that's happening within government now. Well, when he's doing that on one hand, at the same time he's trying to win over support in the black community, which polls show is very, very supportive of the Obama administration. It's kind of a delicate walk he's trying to make, and you could see that a little bit in the debate last night. And I think that's why Hillary a few times called him out for criticizing the Obama administration.
Interesting, because I didn't think of it that way until you said it. I didn't think of that that it was clear that he was opposing the Obama administration.
Well,
I thought it was
when you're running against the guy. He's running essentially against the guy who's in power. When every criticism he makes is kind of an implicit criticism of Obama for not getting these things done. You know, whether it's Obamacare versus Medicare for all or all those things. But I think he's got
to
be careful
not
to insult black voters too.
Let's try to remember who is going to vote in a Democratic primary, right? So in the same way, we know that the extreme right votes in the Republican primaries. There are an awful lot of people who think Bernie's absolutely right. He is right. It's, you know, in terms of what this country has come to be. And he's making all of those points. Nevertheless, you still got a middle class who aspire to being rich. That's always been the problem. We don't want to tax the rich too heavily because someday I'm going to be rich too, and I don't want it to happen to me. That's the way it is.
Hey, we were just called idiots.
Woohoo!
By?
All of us, or just?
By Ken.
Who said that?
Ken.
Ken, I don't have that one yet, Joe, so you read it.
Winner of 14 elections, unelectable idiots. Hear yourselves? Question mark?
Yeah, but winning in Vermont is not the same as winning a national election. Right?
Right.
Well, And, you know, what's happening now is as we get further into this, people's passions
Vermont and New Hampshire,
are sort of
Chris.
Taking over.
Well, that's true.
Go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry.
Well, it's right. But it is right next door.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that wasn't a general election, right? I mean,
As I said, as I said near the beginning of the show, I just feel that when he gets into those Southern primaries, it's going to be a whole different story because it's a much more conservative.
I don't know. Yeah, you see, Barbara, I don't know because I think what happens is as you get into the primaries, the left of the party is more likely to show up than the middle.
The South Carolina left?
Yeah. I know that you're mocking me, but I do think
Oh, you can't even see my face.
No, but I think there are a lot of people who know that they're being screwed, you know. And, you know, and by the way, I wanted to talk about the use of the word idiot about us. That's fine. I don't care. But their passions are beginning to happen. I got a letter this morning because I called out Trump in my newspaper column for being Hitler-esque, which I've done on this station, for singling out a single group like Muslims for, you know, for special treatment. And I made the point that's exactly what Hitler did with the Jews, the scapegoating technique. So this guy writes me a letter in which he addresses me, dear, and then I can't say it on the radio, but it was a term which is used sometimes by males in birth control. So if you're following, and it wasn't nice, and I think we can expect a lot more of that.
Barbara, do you think religion will hurt Bernie Sanders as they go south? I mean, one of the things you were talking about Clinton earlier and how comfortable he was in the black community, he was always very comfortable in black churches too, and that seemed to be something that really...
Right.
I wonder if Bernie will have that same appeal in churches, and if he'll kind of be able to make a connection there. I think that's still very important in a lot of southern states.
Right. I don't know how much he has done as far as doing outreach to the churches, which is, of course, the tried and true method for not just white, you know, people running for office, anybody running for office where their black, major black populations probably does that. But Bernie, from what I can understand, is pretty secular, but he's also Jewish, which, of course, is his heritage, not just his religious practice.
His religion. Right.
So I said that the other day and got killed.
I think it's a good question, Chris.
Yeah.
You said what? That might hurt him?
I said that he was no, not at all. I just said that he was Jewish, but not a religious Jew. So somebody wrote back and said, "How dare you?" You know, I'm not saying that. He said that. an interesting scenario says, "Hello, all. Do you think Bernie would have a better chance of getting the nomination if the economy were to go to another bad recession by the end of the summer?" Now, I think that's a very good letter, don't you guys? I mean, that's a very important issue. I suspect it would help Hillary because maybe it shouldn't, but people, when things go really south, start to look at established people who are more likely to carry them through.
Yeah, they may not want radical policies that might seem a little risky, if things are going south.
That's what I'm thinking. But it's a very interesting letter.
Real quick, I want to go back to something that you were talking about, Alan, in what you had written about Donald Trump and the reaction that got. And one of the things I think we lost sight of on Tuesday was a little fact that came across was that in the exit polling, 65% of New Hampshire Republican voters said that they would support banning non-American Muslims from entering the United States. Now, I guess that shouldn't be overly surprising given the strong support that Donald Trump had. But that is not of just Trump supporters. That is overall within the Republican Party. I found that number fairly staggering. Yes.
My point exactly. It's what Hitler did. That's how he got to be the chancellor. That's how he got to run the country. He did it on the backs of somebody, and he got agreement from the German population, which were largely anti-Semitic. That's exactly what he did, and that was my point.
I think there have been polls that show that's pretty popular just broadly, not just with Republican voters, but with the populace
overall. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Exactly right. My point exactly. Anyway, you got a lot of letters. I don't know what you want to do here.
All right. Well, why don't you go through a couple of them? Let's say let's go through about 2 minutes worth, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back and go to our last two topics.
And you'll tell me when it's over. Okay.
Okay.
So, Bernie, Nola says, I am less concerned about Bernie's electability than I am about his ability to accomplish things if elected. He is much farther than the left of Obama and has a less inclination to compromise that I fear will be even less effective than Obama. Despite not having the race issue to deal with, the extreme right wing will stop at virtually nothing to prevent socially progressive policies from being adopted. At least if Hillary wins, we know that some things can get done, and that's from Nola. Joe says, come on, panel. You know association with Al Tawana Brawley Sharpton is a big turnoff for many voters. However, I want to point this out, and then maybe Barbara can speak to this. When Al Sharpton, at the top of his controversibility, a new word for me, ran for the United States Senate, he got well in excess of 90% of the black vote. So you got to deal with Al Sharpton whether you like him or not, Barbara.
Yeah, I'm not connecting what you're saying. This letter said something about Al Tawana Brawley Sharpton.
The letter says, yeah. The letter basically, which I have now gotten rid of, said that, you know, fooling around with Al Sharpton is a dangerous thing because so many of us remember, you know, Tawana Brawley and all that stuff. And I'm saying if you're either Hillary or Sanders, you must deal with Al Sharpton.
So have either really of them done that, though? That's
yeah.
what I'm...
He's, yeah, oh, San- yeah. Sanders oh, yeah. met with Al Sharpton earlier this week.
I see.
That's, although...
In Sylvia's, yeah.
Although Bernie didn't look all that comfortable being there. He did.
Well, he did, looked, he did
I think he was
same.
Waiting for an endorsement, and he didn't get it.
He looked
right?
a little grim.
Well,
he did the same thing with Larry
saw,
Wilmore had, on the Nightly Show some time ago, so he should have been comfortable. He's been there already.
Oh.
Well, the picture I saw of Bernie, even in, I think in that other newspaper, said big smile on his face. So
oh, yeah.
it depends
okay.
on which photographer got what, which photographer did what.
And I think it was Sylvia's. I just know they were yeah. at a black restaurant, Larry
yeah.
Wilmore and
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll continue and wrap up our conversation this morning. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Chris Churchill, and Barbara Smith make up the panel this morning. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, European frame designs, and customized eyewear, eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. And First Light, providing high-speed data, internet, co-location, and voice services to businesses over its own fiber optic network and supported by locally based personnel, firstlight.net.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion, and very nice to have you with us. So we should note that the Oregon standoff has ended as the last militants surrendered yesterday. So that story is over with and was as peaceful, I guess, as we could hope, at least in the last chapter of it. Does anybody have anything to say about that?
I guess it was, you know, the peace, it was handled relatively well, I think. You know, congrats to the federal authorities, I guess, for not bum rushing in there and shooting everybody up.
Alan?
I thought it was inevitable the way this was going to end. It ended the way I thought it was going to end. I had moved on to other things. So I didn't find it that exciting. Once they got the other guys, it was just a matter of time.
Let's go then to another story.
Can I say something else?
Yes.
Can I say one other thing? I love the music you're playing this morning.
Yeah. We're getting letters, yes, and it's very nice. Yeah,
right.
What is it, Rob? Rob will tell us the first name. The Art Tatum Trio is what we're playing this morning. Thank you very much to Rob Chacon and our wonderful board op and music selector. And then we have the officer who was convicted in the fatal shooting of a Gurley in Brooklyn. This came down yesterday. Barbara, what do you make of that?
Very interesting verdict, given that it seems that generally that's not what happens with police officers.
Yep.
Convicted of manslaughter, I should note.
Yeah. It's so upsetting. All I could think about, because I always have this, you know, kind of, I don't know, maybe it's idealistic, but I was thinking, well, that's what happens like when you have people with weapons. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? He had no intention of shooting, mm-hmm. but he did have his weapon out. And it went off, it ricocheted, and then somebody was dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just really, it's our style, the U.S. style of policing and the expectations around, you know, carrying guns and violence, etc. I was so upset that the officer is Chinese American, because it's not the usual script of mm-hmm. like you know, white, you know, officer, black, you know, victim.
It's kind of ironic,
well,
in a way,
you
that
know,
it's,
yeah,
kind of ironic, sure, that it's ahead. An accidental shooting that leads to a conviction instead of one of the
yes,
intentional.
It is. Yeah. Well, I think it's because of they must have seen negligence or mm-hmm. you know, not following police
right.
protocols and training. Yeah,
there was also he didn't stop to help the guy once
right.
once he had shot him, which
right.
was which is
right.
more damning probably than the original
right.
original accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Alan,
well,
you were going to say,
you know, it's also New York City, right? Number one, number two, there does seem to be a line at which you cannot cross. So, or certainly not in some of the other venues that we have seen where it was pretty obvious that wrong was done. But here is a guy shooting his gun without knowing who's on the other side. And if that ain't manslaughter, I don't know what is. It just is.
But I don't think he intended to shoot, though, right?
The gun went off.
It just went off.
The gun went off.
Yeah. I don't think
as the old song goes, guys, I didn't know the gun was loaded.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't have had his finger on the trigger like that.
The gun just went off? Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. We've heard from Michael, who says, lost in the news is the story that the person who started all this, Clive Bundy, got arrested at an airport in Oregon a couple of days ago. Why don't you talk about this? Hey, come on, Michael. It was all over our news. You know it, and I know it. So Julia says, Alan, how are you using this label? In Marx's context, the modern content that most of the world recognizes seems to be the lower class of society. Regards, Jules. I'm not sure what that means, but I do know one thing. Somebody wrote us and said, on Stalin, he said, do most voters remember Stalin? And that's from Sally. Good point. I mean, you know, things get forgotten, including our namesake Churchill, who's a brilliant man, as is our panelist.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Without saying, of course. And do we have other letters, Alan, or do we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got lots of them. Joel takes great exception to what I said. Hitler won with 43% of the vote. That means 57% of German voters in capitals did not want him as chancellor. Well, but it's what got him over the threshold, and he got there. Hi, panel. South Carolina has an open primary. How might that affect the results? Well, you know that there was an open primary in New Hampshire, right? And you saw what happened. A lot more people voted on the Democratic side, the middle, you know, who took the ballots, than on the Republican side. Interesting, nay?
Absolutely interesting.
Yeah, thank
anybody
you.
We have about 3 minutes, and I just wanted to real quick mention that I think this is we don't often do a lot of science news on the panel section, so let's talk about the team of scientists announcing Thursday that they had heard and recorded the sound of two black holes colliding a billion light years away. A fleeting chirp that fulfilled the last prediction of Einstein's general theory of relativity. So there is the existence of gravitational waves, and we've got it on tape.
I love it, and I wonder.
I wish I knew what it meant.
you read it really well, though.
I have no idea what it means, but I'm with it.
Very important.
Yes,
very
I'm important. Sure. I watched. There was a very detailed segment on the NewsHour last night, and I was watching it, and they had me. I understood everything they were saying, and then at the end, I was still like. I wouldn't know how to then explain it to somebody else. I thought it was very well explained, very well executed, but I'm still, not sure. But again, it proves that Einstein was very smart.
Oh.
Yes. We can all agree on that.
Not that we didn't know that, but just further confirmation that he's a very, very smart man. All right, and we have time for a letter or two, Alan, and then we'll wrap up here.
Okay, so Yvonne says, for people who say Bernie won't be able to get things done with Congress, what makes them think Hillary would be any more effective? Any, in capitals. Democratic president is going to have to either make broad concessions or make use of executive orders. She will face a lot of sexist opposition. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same time we're electing a president. We're electing a Congress and a Senate, aren't we? So let's try to remember. It may not be the same Congress. Know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, let's end there, actually, because we're out of time. And I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. Alan, I hope you're feeling better. Thank you very much for being with us in your condition, near death and all.
Yes, I'm not a well man.
I know you're not a well man, but I hope you will get better. And thank you very much. Yeah. Chris Churchill, it's always wonderful to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Hopefully we'll see you next week. I'll talk to you about that as soon as the mic... Go off.
Okay.
And Barbara Smith, we'll see you next week as well. Thank you very
much.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.